Well, good morning again. And today we are beginning a new series. We've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, the life of Moses, but now we're going to transition. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in a series called Fully Alive. And we're going to be looking at some really important stuff for the life of our community. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in just a minute. But I want us to begin by thinking about this quote. Helen Keller says, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. And that reminds me of a scripture verse, which I have quoted many times in sermons. Proverbs 29:18 says, and this is King James Version, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The people just kind of flounder, and they go in circles, like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Having vision, not just physical sight, but having vision is really crucial to life. Because if we don't know where we're going, then we're only likely to arrive at a good destination by random chance. And I'd like to think that we can be more intentional and have better odds than that. So I think it's really vital as a church, as a community, that we can answer two very important questions. One, where are we going? And then two, which is related, how do we get there? I think it's very important for a church to be able to answer those questions. I think it's very important for any organization to be able to answer those questions. I think it's very important for individuals to be able to answer those questions. So where are we going? That's a vision question. And our church's vision is to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom. Jesus says in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The Message paraphrase puts it this way: "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." So why did Jesus come? Why did this eternal Son of God take on human flesh and come to earth? And there are various answers in scripture to that question, but one of which is he came to bring life, to bring life in all of its fullness. And as a community, as a church, that's what we want for every person. We want everyone to experience this life. And we believe that that vision actually matches up with the deepest needs of every human heart. You know, everyone wants to experience abundant life. Now, we may all define it a little differently or whatever, but obviously, if you were to ask people, hey, do you want to live an abundant life? Do you want to live life in all of its fullness? Duh. Everyone would say, yeah, of course. This is what we all want, right?
Yeah, you know, Patrick, I hear those words and I find them, I'm sure you all do too, I find them incredibly encouraging, especially in this season, just knowing that we can have vision right now. You know, we can actually have a vision, because right now it's tough to plan. It's tough to even dream when you don't really know what the next few weeks are going to look like. But, you know, these words remind us that even if our temporal plans don't happen, God's plan will happen. Whatever that plan happens to be, it will happen. And it reminds me, I mean, this is slightly out of context, but I think it works. It kind of reminds me of Habakkuk 2, where he talks about the vision, you know, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And so we do have something to hope for, something amazing. However, Patrick, I'm going to turn it over to you. Talk about how we get there. it's a little challenging.
So we all want life. We all, and like vision is different than physical sight. Life is different than just life, like existing. We all want to experience life in its fullness. Now, the challenge comes with the second question, how do we get there? We all agree that we want whatever version of abundant life we have in our hearts and minds. We all want that. But culturally, the challenge is there's very little agreement on how we actually obtain that life. Like, how do we get there? How do we get it? And so I think that's where the challenge comes in. And I think that's where, as a church, we have to be clear about how do we get this life? Because we believe strongly that this abundant life doesn't just simply fall out of the sky onto us. You know, it comes to us in a very particular way. A very particular way. And what we believe is that that particular way is that abundant life comes to us through discipleship to Jesus. We believe that the fullness of life is only found as we put our trust in Jesus and take on his character and his way of life. And so that's what I really want us to spend the next 4 weeks doing, is describing what we believe is the essence of discipleship. Because through it, we come fully alive in Jesus Christ. Now, as a church, we describe our life of following Jesus in these four ways: a devoted life, a spirit-filled life, a shared life, and a generous life. So those four things really for us describe the essence of discipleship to Jesus. And today we want to dig deeper into this idea of the devoted life. What does it look like to live a life of devotion? And so I want us to think about this today in just two simple ways: our devotion and then Christ's devotion. So our devotion and Christ's devotion. And Dean, why don't you get us started on thinking about our devotion?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we see the idea of devotion in that Acts 2 reading that was just read for us. Right there at the beginning of that passage, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So devoted is kind of like continued steadfastly. You know, they were diligent in their commitment. That's what devoted means in that passage. And so what do we see that they were devoted to? Well, it says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. So that would have included all of Jesus's teaching as heard by the apostles. It would have included teaching about the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, as it connected to Jesus. In short, they were devoted to the regular study of Scripture. Mm-hmm. But that's not all. It goes on to say they were devoted to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, what does that describe? Well, it describes basically what happens like at church, you know, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Like those things, that's like basically our service lineup every week, verbatim, you know. We come together and we sing together and we greet one another and we share hospitality with one another and we pray many times throughout the service and we celebrate communion together, breaking the bread. So basically, we learn in this passage that one of the key ways that the fullness of life is mediated to us is through the regular interaction with Scripture and through our communal worshiping with our brothers and sisters.
Dean, could I just interject?
Please.
Would you say that that way of life increases our love for Jesus, our devotion to Jesus?
Yes. Is this a trick question?
I just wonder what you would say. I mean, it's just amazing to me that living out a certain way of life, like certain habits, can actually...
That's right.
Increase our devotion. And all I know is I hear you say this and it reminds me, since March, I've heard several people say this and I've experienced it myself, that people feel most alive in the times that they're reading Scripture and praying with others. Because, right, you know, going back to what Patrick said at the beginning about vision, even when we don't know what to hope for, those things ground us in our hope, in a hope that's lasting and alive, as opposed to a hope that's fickle or temporary. And so, it reminds us of what actually, makes us feel most alive and what's most meaningful. And it's because of that devotion to Jesus. So
exactly right. We have to remember that this is not primarily about read the Bible and go to church because you should.
Right.
Read the Bible and go to church because in it, you will find the fullness of life coming more into your heart and life,
Yeah.
Okay. So when I think about the word devotion, I can't help but ask myself, what am I devoted to? What do I have a steadfast commitment to? What in my life am I devoted to? There would certainly be some good things on that list, my family and my job and my late night dessert habit. I have a steadfast commitment to that, and it's a good thing. All right. But there would also, what's that?
I'm glad it's good for you.
That's what I'm choosing to believe. Okay. But there would also be some things on that list that would probably be, that really are just not good for me. I'm devoted to things that are harmful to me, time sucking apps on my phone, or being plugged into the 24-hour news cycle, or I'm devoted to anxiously stewing about things that are outside of my control.
Mm-hmm. That question, you sometimes hear people say, if an alien came and could just look at our lives and didn't know anything about us, what would they determine is really our highest commitments,
That's right.
And my guess is oftentimes it would not be Jesus.
That's right.
it would be a lot of other things, that we give ourselves to, that we're committed to, giving all our time and energy and so forth.
That's right. So I want to exhort that question to all of you watching this week. That question could use some attention this week. What are you devoted to? Is it a steadfast commitment to your diet of the political echo chamber? Is it a destructive habit that is not bringing you the fullness of life, but rather decaying you? What is it that you feel devoted to, And what we see in the early church is not only that they're kind of subtracting out the bad devotions and plugging in the good devotions, we see a people that are baptizing their entire lives into their devotion to Jesus Christ, to his scripture, to the church, and to a worldview of the kingdom,
Dean, just to be clear for people who are listening to us, that word baptizing, what does that mean?
Yeah,
submerge. Yeah.
Submerge, that's the word I'm looking for.
To immerse. So when you say a people baptizing their whole lives, they're immersing, they're submerging their whole lives into Jesus. Yeah. And everything else gets sorted out in relationship to him.
This is more than just a replacement.
Yeah.
For another behavior. This is a whole new way of life.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, let me do a quick side note here. I brought up politics just a second ago. We have something coming up that we're excited about on Sunday, September 13th. You're going to get way more information about this. But on Sunday, September 13th, our bishop, Bishop Todd Hunter, is doing a special Zoom meeting just with us at Christchurch about how to engage this political season that we are in the middle of. And what you won't find at that meeting is what Christians or what Anglicans should believe about X issue, But what you will find at that meeting is, I suspect, something like this: how to baptize your political positions into the kingdom of God. And you'll hear about how to love your neighbor well in the process of doing that, and how we can navigate this election season. So do mark your calendars now, September 13th, Sunday night, but you'll be getting a lot more information about that. Sorry, that was just a side note.
Awesome.
Okay, so how do we practically do this? How do we practically devote ourselves?
I don't know.
Tell us, Dean.
Let me tell you. Well, it's simple to understand, I think, but it's really difficult to implement, which is we just need to renew our commitment to regular scripture engagement and to gathered worship. You know, and as we, as Amanda pointed out, remember that the reason why you're doing this is because if you do, we believe that you will experience the fullness of life found in Jesus Christ. Okay, so those two things. So renew your commitment to regular scripture, okay? So here at Christ Church, you've heard it a million times. We are recommending the Bible in 1 Year app. It's so easy. You can get it on your phone. You can get it sent to your email. But if you have some other Bible reading plan, then do it. Just engage with scripture. It will change your life.
Indeed, can we just say one reason, like, why did we choose the Bible in 1 year? Well, there's obviously a connection because it's done by Nikki Gumbel, who leads the Alpha course. And so there's a connection there for us, but we specifically chose the Bible in 1 year because it provides a systematic way to read through the Bible. But Nikki's commentary is really valuable. It really helps to train us how to read the Bible, right. A gospel-centered way of reading the Bible, and especially the Old Testament that is very foreign to most of us. And so his commentary is really what made the difference for me in terms of why this particular way, because I think it really provides good resources to help us learn how to read the Bible.
Love that. Thank you. Yeah. So please devote yourself to scripture reading on the regular, okay? But secondly, devote yourself to your church. And I know that this is hard right now. You know, what does it even mean to, like, devote yourself to corporate fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers in this season that we're in, you know? I mean, if you're watching this, then that question is especially difficult for you. You know, as much as you'd like to be seeing your brothers and sisters at church and sharing life with them, you cannot right now. But there are still ways to engage with your church, you know? Be devoted to, like, this stuff, this video content that we put out. It's certainly helping. We've heard many times from people that it's helping them to come more fully alive during this season. But also stay connected in fellowship with people from church, you know, by picking up the phone and calling someone that you can fellowship with. Share your concerns with them, your joys. You know, be devoted to your church, even during this difficult time, or especially during this time.
And we're definitely going to have some things coming this fall, ways to engage everyone in the parish, to give people a way to connect with others. Mm-hmm. So you'll be hearing more about that in the weeks to come.
Awesome. Okay, that's our devotion. Patrick.
All right, let's think about Christ's devotion. We've talked about our devotion, but the early church undoubtedly was deeply devoted to Jesus Christ. We see it in these readings and all throughout the book of Acts. And because of that, they really grew exponentially in their capacity to experience the fullness of life that only Jesus can give. Just like one simple example, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, because they don't want them to preach about Jesus. And basically Peter and John tell them, well, we don't care. We're going to keep talking about Jesus. And so they beat them, they flog them, and then let them go. And it says, they went on their way rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for, you know, like, they just got the crud beat out of them. And their response is joy. Like, they're overjoyed, you know,
like limping along and praising the Lord.
Yeah. I mean, there was this life that just came to them, you know, that I think we all want. We all would like to have that kind of life. But while it may seem like a simple point, I think this still really needs to be said and considered, that their devotion to Jesus didn't just grow out of a vacuum. Their devotion to Jesus only grew out of the soil of Christ's devotion to them. Mm. So any true devotion to Christ is always a response. Mm. Not an initiating action. True devotion to Christ is always a response to his devotion to us. And our understanding and taking in just what he has done for us. You know, 1 John 4:9, John says, we love because he first loved us. So Jesus's devotion to his people is really the motivating factor for our devotion to him. And his devotion to us is truly amazing. And I'd like for us to think about that in three ways that comes from a part of the liturgy that we say in the communion prayer. It's called this part of the liturgy is referred to as the memorial acclamation. And it goes like this: Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That's kind of the essence of our faith, what we believe. And so we see Jesus's devotion to us in those terms. So first, Christ has died. Jesus expresses his devotion to his people because he gave his life for us so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. You know, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he died for us. He gave his life for us. Second, Christ is risen. Jesus, now ascended into heaven, expressed his devotion to his people by sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And so that means we're not alone in this life. The early church, Jesus was with them. Like, they were experiencing him in the present, not just in the past, but in the present through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So his devotion to us wasn't just a one-time act. He's shown us in the Holy Spirit his ongoing devotion and care for us.
Absolutely, in the present moment. So, you know, what the early church experienced and what we can experience as well because of the Holy Spirit is the personal presence and power of Jesus is with us at all times and in all places. So we experience that ongoing love and devotion and commitment to us from Jesus. So Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Now, not only has Christ saved us and is with us now, but he expresses his devotion to us because he promises that someday he's going to come again and restore all things. You know, what the early church experienced, they experienced this tremendous power and life of Jesus, and we can experience that too. But what we also experience, and what they also experienced, was suffering and death and pain and loss. But Jesus promises that someday he's going to come and all the pain, all the trials and tribulations will ultimately be redeemed. Because as Jesus says, he has overcome the world. So he's working all things for our good and his glory, and someday he will make all things new. So Jesus's devotion to his people is deep. You know, he saved us by dying for us. His devotion to his people is personal. The risen Lord is always with us through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus' devotion to his people is whole. It's complete. He will see everything through to the end by coming again and bringing the kingdom where he shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Good word.